Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please. The book of Ephesians. And we have some notes that are being passed out in the new format. Appreciate those who help do all of that. An introduction before we read the text. And I've mentioned to you before at previous times when sitting with key leaders from the United States and people from mega churches and small churches alike, we found out that many times the elementary things of Christianity aren't taught. And for those of us who've been in church for a long time, and I mean, I've been in church longer now than when I wasn't, thank God. Messages that I heard early on became foundation stones through which I built my life. And then as time goes on, we can drift away from those things. And especially if you're not in a life group, you know, we have a life group system and the life groups are just awesome. They're these small groups that meet in homes and cafes and they meet in churches. They meet all over, they meet in offices. And you can learn the word of God there. It's very important for you to get a foundation. If you were to build a house, I mean, you would be sure that the foundation was done well. I have a shed on my property that Pastor Karen and my family know full well. It's a beautiful shed. It's well built. There's only one problem with it. I didn't compact the soil underneath and put a good gravel pad. So it moved, and it sank a little bit. And here in about a month, it's going to come nearly underwater. Not the whole shed, mind you, but just enough to get the floor under the water. So every year, I get a sump pump, and I have this little ditch. You think I'd fixed it by now. Maybe this is the year where I'll empty that thing, which would be an act of God, and get a forklift or something, and something to jack it up and lift it up and maybe put a proper foundation on. You need to have a firm foundation. And if you haven't been to the Discover Track, 9:45 every Sunday, go to that, the first four Sundays of the month, and that'll help you get into the on-ramp to build a firm foundation. Now, I've known people that say they had a firm foundation, but you can tell that they didn't because they're underwater. Ephesians chapter 6, would you stand with me? Let's go ahead and read the word. I'm going to call the name of the message, I've entitled it, Armor Up and Level Up. Armor Up and Level Up, Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture that used to irritate me. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 6, as you stand on your feet, reading from New Living Translation. And as soon as I get there in this new Bible of mine with these pages that are sticking together, I'll read it to you. Starting in verse 10. My God. Woo! Okay. Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Okay. Verse 13. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. Put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand, you will still be standing firm. Verse 14, stand your ground. Everybody say that, stand your ground. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was in Israel and just a few weeks ago, and the guerrilla warfare is what some would call it. Terrorism is a unique way of fighting. And in the case of Israel and Hamas, disturbing how they fight, how they use human shields, and how they take the innocent to protect their own lives. And here in America, well, I was disgusted at the lack of reporting and the incredible lack of candor, if I could be polite, that our news agencies use to report what happens there on the ground. I was there, I saw it firsthand, went to the kibbutzes, saw the different things. It's absolutely horrific. Guerrilla warfare, terrorist type warfare, is very difficult to defeat. It's a very difficult thing to battle. The IDF fighting in those tunnels, it's akin to the Vietnam War, where there was all kinds of traps and a very different type of fighting. In the United States of America, the Revolutionary War, the Americans fought very, very different than the British. The British would line up and fight like gentlemen, you know. And we had a new way of fighting, and because of that, we were able to win, of course, more than all of that, because of God's favor. I want you to understand tonight, as I put a foundation block in place, that you're in a battle. You're like, no, duh. Okay, but maybe you're not aware of it. All of us are in a fight. Every single person in the room is in a fight. Now, whether you realize it or not, you're in a war. You must know and understand you are at war. I want you to bump your neighbor and say, bro, you're at war. Go ahead, tell him. Yeah, you are. You are. You're in a battle. Now, if you don't know who the enemy is, that's a problem. Scripture talks about it. It's not flesh and blood. It's not your neighbor. It's not your ex-wife, not your ex-husband. Because we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, as the New King James says, as the NIV says, powers and principalities and rulers in dark places. So you have to know that, one, you're at war. Two, you have an enemy. And not only that, but you have to know how to win. You got to understand how to win. I'm going to tell you, some of you might not like what I'm about to say, but it is absolutely biblical. It is a biblical reality that you should never lose the war. There's no, that you should never lose the war. Now, battles, you have challenges. You might feel like you've gone through defeat. But it's not over yet. You read the back of the book, we win. It is an unbiblical thing to stay down, to be defeated. You never see God's people defeated. only when they're in sin, only when they have issues like that. We're going to talk about that. So that's what this text is all about. We're in a battle. And you fill your notes in as we move along. We're in a battle. It's not against people. It's a spiritual battle, spiritual forces. The devil's mentioned here. A hierarchy is listed, powers, principalities. It's giving rank and file. It's one way to look at it. Some of you in the military, you understand chain of command. You understand how that works. There's a hierarchy in the demonic. There's a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. And so the devil is mentioned. The devil, another name for him. He's got lots of names. Satan, prince of this world, the evil one, ruler of the kingdom of the air, the great dragon, the ancient serpent, the father of lies, the thief. All of these are names for Satan. And Satan has what we call demons. Now, there's some argument, but I don't think it's sound. Demons are fallen angels, and if you go to Revelation chapter 12, why do you want to tell me this? Because some of them are chewing on the back of your spine right now, and it'd be good to know so you could take care of it. Come on, if someone is chewing on your back, you'd want to get them off. And some of you just think it's your ex-wife, or some of you think it's your neighbor, some of you think it's the government. Now, the enemy does use people. I'm not saying he doesn't. He does, and he's used you. He's used me, unfortunately. We never want to be used by the enemy. But how many of you know the enemy has used your mouth at times? Or you said hurtful things, and you shouldn't have, or you did something that wasn't right, and you hurt people. Sure is quiet. Revelation 12 and 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against a dragon and his angels. Book of Revelation also talks about that the tail of the dragon swept a third of innumerable. You can look in Ezekiel and look in Isaiah. You can look how there seems to be this war that takes place in heaven, as Scripture tells us, and that the devil, Lucifer, son of the morning is what that means, he says, I'll ascend to the sides of the north and I'll become like God. And in that moment, he's cast down to the earth. And there's a lot of discussion about that. But he took a third of innumerable, and what many scholars believe, and I would subscribe to, is that the fallen angels are demons. The Psalms talk about the stars. A third of the stars fell. Stars are also another name for angels. And stars are not angels. So when you look up and you see the twinkle, twinkle, little star, that's not an angel. But many times angels are referred to as stars. And as Christian, we're called to stand. We're called to stand guard. The text talks about that. Stand. To stand. You know what that's like? Anybody ever seen a paratrooper? You know what they do? They're dropped behind lines. Anybody ever jumped out of an airplane? All four of you. How many of you aren't going to raise your hand? No matter what question I ask, it's not going to happen. You're not going to raise your hand. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. The picture is, this picture of standing is a picture of a paratrooper being dropped behind enemy lines. He parachutes in and he lands. And when he lands, he has to stand and take ground. He's in enemy territory. He has his weaponry. And he's like going to take territory. And his buddy lands next to him, and two is better than one. And then there's more and more. And then begin to make a beachhead, if you will, or begin to make inroads into the enemy's camp. That's the picture. You have been parachuted out of darkness into the kingdom of the sun, but you're also still behind enemy lines. I'm going to encourage myself. I'll be right back. Amen, Pastor Daniel. Amen. We're in a battle. We're behind enemy lines. Oh, God, help us. Oh, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Grow a spine and fight. Stand. Everybody say stand. We're in a battle. You got to stand. Stand and see the deliverance of the Lord. In order to stand, you got to put on the armor of God. Now, here's why I have not liked I love this text, but for a long time I was allergic to it. And the reason I was is I heard, and it had to come from the early 90s or something, right around then, when there was just a lot of put on the full armor of God messages and songs. And I will never forget talking to someone. I was in the process of learning to put on the full armor of God every day. How many of you? What are you laughing at? You're going to find out in a second. And it was like every day you got to get up and be like, I put on the breastplate of righteousness and a helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. And as I would tie my shoes, my feet are ready with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes. Now that's beautiful and everything, but let me just tell you something. Don't ever take the armor off. You have to put it on every day. It's this whole 1 hour. Does anybody else remember that? It's this whole 1 hour moment where you pray and put on the armor and just do this thing. I'm gonna gird my loins. Okay, you gird those loins. You never take the armor off. And it's a powerful picture of spiritual truth. And so many things, and we're gonna look at that. God's intention for you, for me, is to walk in victory. God doesn't parachute you behind the lines and leave you with a squirt gun. He gives you weaponry, he equips you, and nothing by any means shall harm you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No, it won't work. There are weapons that are formed against you. There is difficulty. There is challenges. There is demon power that wants you to quit. I would have quit. The kindness of God arrested me in a service not unlike this one as I wanted to quit. I quit. And the Lord's like, that's great. Where are you going? I don't know. You're not going anywhere. Stay right here. And I happened to be wearing some cowboy boots. I had a vision of a boot with a roper heel, not unlike the ones I'm wearing. And I know what it meant. You dig in, you're not moving again. There's no more geographical moves for you, Bubba. You can't move away from yourself. You're like, that's it, I'm moving. Right, well, you'll find profoundly that everywhere you go, there you are. It's a horrible thing. You know what the solution is getting transformed and changed. And so I learned to fight. He trained my hands for war, says the psalmist. I learned to fight. I learned to battle. I learned every bit of sanity I have, I scrapped for it. I fought for it. Had to renew my mind. And there's moments where God would touch me at an altar, not unlike the one we just had, where transformation would take place and I would be different. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But I know what it is to be bound. I know what it is to be completely shut up and locked up and in prison. And I know what it is to be free. Freedom's way better. Bump your neighbor and say freedom's better than being in prison. And by the way, some people in prison are freer than people that are out. God's plan is for us to walk in victory, but you got to keep in mind the whole world is under the sway of the devil. Then we said, how come Pentecostals talk about the devil so much? First of all, they're called Pentecostals, and we're a Pentecostal church. We're a spirit-filled church. They're called Pentecostals because they would preach Acts 2 all the time about Pentecost over and over and over. They talk about Pentecost, 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 Pentecost. And we are a spirit-filled church. Make no apologies for it. I don't know what I would do without a move of the Spirit of God. Somebody said, there's something different about this place. What is it? It's that. There's freedom. There's power. There's joy. There's hope. There's strength. There's freedom. There's deliverance. There's power. There's Pentecost. The Spirit of God is here. But you got to understand the depravity of man. Understand that because of Adam and Eve's sin, they forfeited the title deed to the earth. So you go all the way back to the fall of man in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve had a choice. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a picture of the tithe, by the way. You can have any other tree, do whatever you want in the garden, but this one's mine. Don't touch this. There's accursed things that belong to God. He didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat from it. From the day that you do, you will die. But sure enough, Satan, the dragon, the snake, the ugly one, the father of lies, deceives Eve, and she ends up eating. And then Adam was so enamored by his wife, didn't know that God could give him a new one. It's kind of a joke. But I think he had an idol. I honestly do, because she's like, don't you want to have some? I mean, just before that, he's like, woo, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Woo, Eve. And there was nothing in all of creation like Eve. And it was his helpmate, his right alongside. And I think he had made an idol of Eve. Otherwise, he could have said, hey, God, this woman you gave me, I didn't instruct her quite right. Before you start blaming women. I didn't do a very good job with her and teach her about what you taught me about the tree, and we've blown it. But that's not what happens. He's like, oh, snap. Give me the apple. Let's go. And he just eats it. And it's kind of my rendition right there. The fall of mankind comes, and they're separated from God, which is a picture of death. Spiritual death happens. They're removed from the garden, and physical death is now a reality. And the title deed of the earth is given to Lucifer, who's now called Satan. That's why when Jesus is led into the wilderness, how many of you know that those passages of scripture? He's led into the wilderness, and Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the world and shows him all of these wonders and says, I'll give them to you if you bow down and worship me. If you be the Son of God, if you be, questions his authority, questions his identity, if you be, take these stones and turn them into bread, goes through all the different temptations. And when that party says, I'll give you all of these kingdoms because they were given to me and I give them to whoever I, when I first read that as a new believer, I thought, what a liar. He's lying again. He's the father of lies. But actually, he's telling the truth right there. The kingdoms of the world were given to Satan. But another king came and redeemed us. The whole world is under Satan's power. I am not shocked when people curse. I'm not shocked when people go and have sex. I'm not shocked when people do things that are outside of the will of God. I'm not shocked at all. Some of you used to do it. I used to be out there too. I don't live that way anymore. And I endeavor to live holy and righteous before God. I've been redeemed. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been made new. I'm not the old guy. I'm a new guy. Come on, 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians? Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, thanks. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creation. You're not the knucklehead you used to be. You've been made new. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. And if that hasn't happened for you yet, just stick around. You're in the right place. But you have to understand that the whole world is under the sway of the devil. In Luke 13:16, we see that he binds people with infirmity. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Turn to Luke. If you have a device, go there on your phone. Luke 13. Let me read it to you. He binds people with infirmity, Satan does. 13 and verse 16. This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage. That's the picture of being bound by Satan for 18 years. She's been held in bondage with the spirit of infirmity, another version says, for 18 years. The enemy comes and he puts disease on people. That's clear. That's just one example. It's everywhere. There's all kinds of examples of him putting infirmity, all kinds of examples of him prompting people and tempting people. Jesus, we just talked about. 1 John 3:8 talks about that. He prompted Judas to betray Jesus. He knows that if he can get you to break God's law, then you've messed yourself up. The devil's bad. He's a bad devil. Come on. God is good, devil bad. Try it. God, good, devil. I dare you. Go ahead. Take your finger. Go ahead. Look at it. All right. Say, God's good. God's good. Turn to your neighbor. Say, God's good. God's good. God's good. Devil bad. Devil bad. Pretty simple. It's one of the greatest revelations you could ever have. God is good. The devil is bad. And what he does is he waves things in front of you like a carrot. And he's like, gets you to like, and then when you grab it, he's like, oh, you know you shouldn't have taken that. God, oh, you're busted. That's what the devil does. He tempts people, prompts people, gets you to go ahead and do the very things that you're not supposed to do so that when you do, you get a beating. It's terrible. Come out from under the hand of God because of disobedience. He possesses people. The demoniac of Gadara. In fact, Judas, Satan enters him, it says, when Judas had the Lord's Supper. It said it's the moment he takes communion, Satan entered him. He attempts to influence generations by curses. Just this week, we had people contacting us in concern about a curse. Well, curses are real. Blessing is real. Curses are real. I'm not feeling the love, so I'm going to go over here. Over here, I'm going to see if I can feel some love from this side of the room. Curses are real. See, so if you look in your life, okay, let's just do this. Let's do this all across the place. Come on, let's have a little bit of fun in the moments that remain tonight. 7:01, there's nothing on Netflix that you can't watch later. I want you to look at your family. Come on, think about your father and think about his father. If you know them, now I understand you might not have known your father. Then think about your mama. If you didn't know your mama, if you were, maybe you were, you know, an orphan. I understand that. So if you knew your parents, think about them. And think about what are some of the things that they did that were besetting sins, scripture would call it. But what are some of the things that they got caught up in? So if you think about your father and you see that he was unfaithful to your mother, maybe he committed adultery. And then you think, well, shoot, that's what my grandfather did too. And maybe you know a little bit further down the line that your grandfather, your great-grandfather, I don't want to fill in the blank, you fill in the blank. Take a look at your family line on your father's side, your mother's side, and just take a look and see if you see any patterns. And if you see patterns, you might realize then it's very possible that pattern might be operating in your life. I didn't say it was operating. I said it's absolutely probable and possible. Absolutely. So you look at your life and you realize, huh? How many of you know who Mike Evans is? Great man of God, Mike Evans. He talks about curses and blessings. And he talks about his family and how his father and mother, they came to church, all his siblings, they came to church. He's the only one that ended up serving God. His father would come to church and serve at church, go home, and was as mean as a cuss, was as mean as a junkyard dog. He was abusive, he was violent, he was terrible. So he came to church, but it would probably be better off that he didn't. I mean, that's just emphasizing the point. Of course, it's always better that someone comes because maybe they'll hear a message like this and realize they have bondage that they're passing on to their children. So all of the kids didn't serve the Lord, but Mike Evans got touched by God, came to the Lord, was born again, gloriously saved, and went into full-time ministry. And he tells about how he led his father to the Lord. And his father, he's now passed. In heaven, he repented of his sin. His father tells Mike Evans about a dream that he had. And the dream goes something like this. I had a dream and I was there I saw my great grandfather and he had these two black stones. And he passed the two black stones to me, to my father or grandfather. He saw these two black stones going down the line of the males in his family. And his father said, and I had these two black stones in the dream and I went to give them to you, but you had two white ones and you said, no, those black stones aren't for me. I have white ones. And I woke up out of the dream. What do you think that means, Mike? And Mike understood clearly that it's a picture of the curse. It's passed down from father to father to father, mother to mother to mother. And if you think that you're not susceptible, I've had people say, well, I'm in Jesus. It's under the blood. But then you still see that cursed behavior in their life and you have to ask, is it really? Is it really under the blood? Because if it's really under the blood, then you don't still see that behavior, that curse operating. See, what about you, Pastor Daniel? Well, let me just tell you what I did. I just figured every iniquity in Scripture was probably in my family, so I went and broke all of them off. I figured all of those are very possible to be in my line. I come against everyone. I sever all of them. I renewed my mind. I got healed and whole. And there's certain things that were harder to break off of my life than others. There are curses. There are generational curses. Pastor, you were freaking me out. Well, I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm just trying to open your eyes. We can break those off. I had somebody contact me this week. Earlier in the week, they had a dream. They had some manifestation of evil in their home. So they talked to a leader, and the leader said that they're not a part of our church. Okay, they contacted me because they understand that demons and curses are something that they've heard us preach about perhaps before. So they contacted me and said, what do we do about it? I asked a few questions. I said, be sure to tell your pastor. They did, and the pastor gave the feedback, you need to get in touch with someone who knows deliverance ministry. I said, for the love of God, if a pastor doesn't know about deliverance ministry, we need some training up in here. And I'm not talking about Kings because every one of my pastors are trained in deliverance. Listen, if you're a believer, you should know about deliverance. And it should start with you. Bump your neighbor. Come on. If you see two red eyes looking back, just lay hands on them right now. Go ahead. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, "Ooh, we getting in it tonight." Satan comes to rob the world, blinds people from seeing the light of the gospel. Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's worth turning to it. Satan, who's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Look with me. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So then ask yourself this question. Why are people who don't believe, why don't they believe? They're blind. Their minds are blinded just like yours was until you gave your heart to Jesus. There's a blinding assignment of the enemy. It's a good way to pray. I break off every blinding assignment of the enemy off of my loved ones. Let them see now. Let them experience true vision. May they truly see you, Jesus, as their Savior. So he comes to blind those who don't believe. So why don't people believe? They're blind. They're why? They're blind. Why don't people believe? They are absolutely. Don't forget it. Everyone really wants Jesus. They just might not realize it. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So the enemy comes and robs the world, and he blinds people, and he'll try to blind you. Some of you have been fighting, like beating the air, thinking it's your neighbor, thinking it's your flesh and blood, thinking it's something else, when in fact, you are fighting a spiritual fight, and you must understand that. And you must get translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light and then understand this warfare and understand the power you have and understand that though you're behind enemy lines with all kinds of blinded people in like a zombie apocalypse, you have power to win. You have power to overcome, to break the curse, to live free, to walk whole, to be joy-filled. To have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The enemy masquerades like an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light. Now think about that. If he showed up at your house with big big red horns coming out the top of his head and a pitchfork. I was like, ah. I mean, you'd be like, ah, it's the devil. No, that's not how he shows up. He shows up with makeup on, maybe. Maybe he shows up in some other kind of outfit, in actual fact, like an angel of light. And just because, oh, I got to tell you this story. We're going somewhere tonight. I remember I was in Timothy Mentoring. I was a life group leader. And Timothy Mentoring is a course that we went through with Dr. Bronco many years ago. We still have the curriculum and use it today. It's profound. And I had just gone through deliverance training with Doris Wagner, who's the foremost person in deliverance in the world at that time. And I don't keep close tracks right now to all of that. There's some people that are so hyper-fixated on demons. My gosh, you wonder if they actually worship God. It's like demons behind every bush. You say, Pastor, do you believe there's demons behind every bush? Absolutely not. It's at least 10 or 15. It's a joke. Lighten up. But there is demon power. And so I was working for a computer store on the side and replacing hard drives and doing some simple things like that. And the owner of the store comes back and knew that God had delivered me profound deliverance and knew that I helped people get free. So he comes back and says, this guy out front is the real deal. He's a total warlock. This guy has a whole group of people that follow him. Why don't you get out and talk to him about Jesus? I'm like, okay, why don't you? You know, I mean, you're saved. I didn't say that. I took on the challenge. I'm like, let's go, getting paid to cast out a devil. Praise God. I guess that's my first full-time ministry job right there. Like, I'm not changing out hard drives now. I'm going to go cast out a devil. So I walk into the store in the front of the store. I was working in the back in the tech department. I walk in the front of the store. I'm like, okay, where is he? There he is. It was pretty easy to find. I went over to the man, and I said, do you need any help? And he said, oh, no. I don't need any help. I'm like, okay. Okay, well, if you need help, I'm here for you. He's like, all right. I said, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm in healing. I said, that's interesting. Me too. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, I said, well, what kind of healing? He says, well, all kinds. I said, well, how long have you been doing that? He says, oh, that's an interesting question. I said, yeah. He said, about 25 years or so. He said, I have these angels that help me heal. I said, interesting. Now, I had just learned about some of these deliverance things and entry points. Everybody say entry points. I might have bitten off more than I can chew. I'm just talking to the Lord. Help me measure this here. There's entry points. So you can open up doors for the enemy. So I'd learned about that. And I said, when did those angels first come to you? He said, nobody's ever asked me that question. And I was like, yeah, well, that's an entry point because they're devils. No, that's not what I did. I didn't do that. I said, but I wanted to know. He said, well, I was on a highway with my family, my mom and dad. I was a little boy. And we got in a horrible car crash near Bakersfield, California. Both my mom and dad were killed, and I was thrown out of the car. When I came to, I was in the middle of the road, and there was smoke everywhere, and I was injured. And I looked, and these two angels came down the road to me, and they asked me if I wanted their help and if I would work with them. And I said, yes. And they've been with me ever since. Those two angels are not angels from heaven. They're demonic angels that can look like an angel of light. And here's how you know the difference. How many of you want to know what the acid test is on that? Any angel, any spirit, as 1 John talks about, any spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. So it does not matter if somebody heals people. If they heal people and don't give glory to God, they are not from God. And I've seen creepy things happen on the streets. I've seen all kinds of weirdness and people disappear and all kinds of oddities and strange things. In Vegas, you've seen some of those shows. It's demonic. Any miracle, sign, and wonder that takes place that doesn't give glory to God is not from God. Now, I'd love to tell you, he got saved, born again, and he's in the ministry, but that didn't happen. I felt to try to build relationship with him, and the truth is I never saw him again. Through trauma, trauma can open the door. Are you listening to me tonight? Trauma can open the door for the demonic in your life. And so you need to shut the door to trauma. You say, you're like reading my mail right now. Good. You need to get healed. You need to forgive. I've been through some things. I went through some trauma in Israel. I mean, we have children here. If there weren't here, I would share some details that wouldn't defile you. But I've been in the homes where people's lives were tragically taken. You know, do you know what the inside, some of you do, you know what the inside of a home looks like that had a grenade go off? I've never seen that. Or concrete buildings, and literally it's like holes in all the concrete all around them, 360 degrees. Just chipped off concrete everywhere. And you can imagine if someone was there, they were no longer there. I went through some things then, and I've been through some things in my life. I've been healed of the trauma of my past, but I'm seeing this in Israel. I was like, oh man, and meeting the people who lost their loved ones. It was traumatic as their tears are running down their face. And they said this in Hebrew, and then it was interpreted for us. Go tell the world what you see here. The reason we're showing these places and leaving these open without fixing them is so that you would go tell the world, because the media won't. Go tell them. Go tell them how evil it is. Go tell them we need their prayers and we need their help. That's what took place when I was in Israel. I came back, I've wept, I've cried. I had to get prayer numerous times. And if you don't deal with trauma, it can leave a door open. You say, Pastor, I've got so much trauma, I don't even know what to do. Well, you start with the thing that screams the loudest. And then you just begin to close those doors. He's a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Everybody say, stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm. There it is again. This is Peter now. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that the family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. I remember thinking I was the only one that was going through the kind of pain I was going through till I met 5 or 6 or 10 plus people that had been through the same thing, come out the other side, and their life was totally restored, and it gave me hope. I remember hearing Michael Gannon, Dr. Michael Gannon. That guy was wanted by the FBI. He was a hardcore drug addict and a dealer. He ran all kinds of drug deals in lower Southern California. And he was on 10 grams of cocaine when he got saved. Without giving the details, God spoke to him and said, if you don't give your life to Jesus right now, to Christ, you will die in your sin and go to hell. He knew God spoke to him, so he got on his knees and like a good Catholic, and he prayed, and he received Jesus, and he was born again on 10 grams of cocaine, instantly sobered up. I listened to that man's testimony when I first came in the church, wanted by the FBI. He got set free. He got delivered. He got released of all of his charges, became an FBI negotiator. How are you wanted by the FBI? And then actually they want you, eventually train you, and you become an FBI negotiator. How is that? Simple. God turns everything around. Come on, somebody say amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. My heart goes out to you, but buck up, stand up, stand firm, resist the devil. Resist him. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's like a roaring lion. Put on the full armor of God and push back for the love of God. You're not defenseless. You've got power and authority. Can I get an amen? That limp-wristed, sissified Christianity. It's, oh, God, what are we going to do, God? Oh, God. What do you mean, what are you going to do? Take the blood. Take your testimony. Speak words of authority. Repent. That's a violent thing to do. Repent. Ask for healing. Get some prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself. But the enemy's a roaring lion. He hinders the work of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. We wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. So there is a real demonic world operating in the second heaven, trying to break into the first heaven over and over again, has no place in the third heaven where the throne is. There's a real demonic world, and I don't tell you these things to get you to grip with fear. I tell you so you understand you're in a war and you've got power. You're in a war, but you've got weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not tanks. They're not M1s. They're not airplanes and aircraft and bombs. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds and the taking authority over every lie, taking every thought captive. Many of these things, these releases, entry points happen because of what we've been through and our patterns of thinking. You must change the way you think. If you agree with the devil, you believe the lie, then you'll be subject to the power that comes from it. The power of the devil is in the lie. Say that. The power of the devil is in the lie. Start understanding who you are. My God, I'm preaching better than you're amening in here. Come on. Lift your hands to heaven and say, I got the power. That was semi-weak. But you do. The power of God is available. Satan tries to hinder this church. He tried and tried again. I just spoke very boldly before the Lord. Devil, you ought to go somewhere else. Because we're not going to quit. We'll never quit. We'll never back off. We will stand firm. Come on, say that. I will say, I will stand firm. If the enemy tried to hinder the Apostle Paul, how many of you think he tried to hinder you? Try to hinder your business. Try to hinder your family. Try to hinder your marriage. How many think you try to hinder your children? Try to defile your children. Try to get you off in a place of low to bar and all jacked up, messed up. Toe up from the flow up. Toe from what? Never mind. It's what he tries to do. Satan's been defeated. Defeated, defeated. The devil's defeated. Satan's been defeated by Jesus' death and resurrection. All right. And we're in the midst of a series called Death Defeated. We must armor up. Let's get to it. You ready? Must armor up. Gotta put on God's armor. The belt of truth says a little bit differently in the New Living Translation, but the belt of truth. Truth is not ambiguous. We believe as Christians, as believers, we believe in God's word. We believe in what is called absolute truth. So when you know this, you know truth. You'll know those who know Jesus will be free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the area that you're not free, it's only because, listen closely to me, all of my friends, listen close. When you know the truth, you will be free. In the areas you're not free, it's because you're believing a lie. Dismantle the lie, believe the truth, be free. Is it that simple? It really is. John 8. Jesus said, if you believe that I am who I say I am, if you don't believe who I am, who I say I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus is truth. God's word is truth. It's not an ambiguous blend of maybes, the Moffat version said. So we're supposed to have truth. It'll hold you together. Truth. You need to know what truth is. Man in the church, brand new, spoke to him this morning. He's a fine intellect, maybe even a genius. They just have a certain look about them. And you know what I'm talking about? That they can see like a wheels turning. You see a lot going on. And his education, all the different things he's been through, he's a brilliant man. He said, I just don't want to be deceived. I said, that's good. Let's study. Let's get in the word. It's not blind faith. You can know the truth and the truth will set you free. God's word is truth. Jesus is truth. God is truth. God is love. You must learn the word. You got to grow in the knowledge of God. All right. And it'll help you. It is literally part of the weaponry as you armor up. It'll live holy. This breastplate of righteousness. Live holy. Holiness matters. Living pure and living holy will guard you, will protect you. Breastplate. It's a picture of the Roman armor. It's almost like you get a picture of Paul just looking at a Roman and then beginning to take the picture of the armor and apply it to biblical truth as he sees it. Living holy matters. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Sharing the word. Sharing your faith. I just don't feel led to do that. You need to get the let out. Somebody said to me, you know, you have to share your faith all the time. Can't you just let people believe what they want to believe? No, it's against my religion not to share my faith. I know that might be surprising because some people have never led anybody to Christ, but that's not the way it should be. Everyone should be a soul winner. Everyone should share their faith in some dimension. And there are those with the gift of evangelist. I understand that. Helmet of salvation. It's assurance of salvation. Knowing that God loves you and is forgiven of your sin really protects you. Some of you aren't assured of it. You don't know. You're like, well, I just don't know. Well, then you better keep coming until you're assured. And you get in the word. I've had people answer 20 altar calls. In other words, they come to the front or receive Jesus 20 times. So did it not work on the first time? No, they just need assurance of their salvation. And it's also evidence that they need discipleship. They need training. You're full of faith. Learn to walk in faith. It's important. Ephesians. What a powerful passage. Sword of the Spirit. Word of God. It's interesting that word. There's two words for word in the Greek. Logos and rhema. Logos and rhema. Logos is the general word. Rhema is, this is the best way to describe it. Logos is the whole ocean. Rhema is one wave in the middle of the ocean. It's the spoken, declared word of the Lord is rhema. It's one note on the keys. It's one note. There's something about having the word of the Lord that releases power. Pray and be prayed for. Praying in the spirit, it talks about. Resist the devil. Can I have keys, please? Resist the devil. How do you win in the war? Well, you've got to resist the devil. How? All of these ways that I'm sharing. You submit yourself to God. One of the things I do when I'm really in a battle is I'll just get on my knees. I mean, if I'm really going through it, I'm going to drop. And I just start crying out to God. But I don't know what to do. My son on the keys, he could testify. Being in our house, Pastor Karen going through a real problem, diabetes, and I remember I came out and like we needed answers. And I was at the end of the rope and I was very concerned about my wife. The two kids were, I think it was even a Sunday, and I don't know if you remember, son, but you're in that red house and the living room, which is very small. And I got on my knees and I began to cry out to God. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Help, help Karen. Help us now. We need your help. And I just would not shut up. When you submit to God, you get on your knees and you get before him and you don't get up until he shows up. Sorry. Cramps. Hallelujah. I need some electrolytes. Glory to God. I don't think that's ever happened before. I've ripped my pants, but I don't think I ever got my hamstrings cramped up. Ow. You get on your knees and you cry out till God shows up. Let me tell you where the devil is. Like a scalded dog with his tail between his legs, and all you can hear is, he's gone. Learn to submit to God. Learn to cry out to him. Learn to break. Some of you are so yielded to your intellectual mind, pride of the mind. Your marriage is broken. Your family is broken. You refuse to get on your knees and cry out till he shows up. So how long does that take? That's your problem. As long as it takes. Because many times in that process, God's doing something and you submit yourself to God. 1 Peter 5:8, James talks about it. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You humble yourself. I don't like eating humble pie, but I sure like what it does for me. It's good to eat dirt. It's good to go low. It's good to apologize. It's good to repent. I have to do it all the time. Anybody have to repent all the time? I got to repent all the time. No, not because I did some big heinous thing. I just put my foot in my mouth, or I do something that I hurt somebody's feelings, or let's all repent right now, Jesus. Forgive us. Submit to God. Forgive us, Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety. Cast all your anxiety on him. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Now listen to that. Guard your heart. So let me help you. If you allow for fear and anxiety to grip you, your heart is no longer guarded. That means your heart is actually open for attack. In fact, if you're having fear and anxiety, it is an attack from the enemy. And yes, it can be rooted in your thinking, certainly. Yes. Get rid of it. Cast all your fear. Listen, you ever have fear and anxiety? Rarely. But when I do have it, that is a clear indication it's time for a prayer meeting. And I cast all my cares on him. I can tell you story after story after story. It would look like it was over. It looked like it's finished. Oh, it's just darkest before the dawn. God's gonna bring you through, but don't you let fear and anxiety get a hold of you. Cast all your cares on him. Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, said Jesus. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not, Jeremiah 33:3. So many people stay in the war, but they don't know how to win. Put on the full armor, never take it off, and learn to stand. You've been dropped behind the enemy line. Now take territory. Drive the enemy back. Drive them out of your family. Drive them out of your mind. Drive them out of your neighborhood. Drive them out of your house. Drive them out of your marriage. Drive them out of your kids and teach them to do the same thing. Don't just sit there and have a little pity party. Oh God, what are we gonna do? Grow a spine in God. Don't be a jellyfish Christian. Well, Lord, you know you can rescue me. I hope you come back someday, Jesus. Yeah, he's going to come back. He's going to come back someday. Meanwhile, the Bible says to occupy. Do business. Occupy till I come. Take over. Advance the cause. Reach the lost. Come on, somebody. Give a hallelujah or an amen or something. You are not a victim. Get rid of your victim mentality and understand that you're a victor. Understand that when you speak, when you pray, God hears and answers. Understand that when you're on your knees, you will never lose. You will never lose a battle if you're on your knees. And if you lose your life, well, you just go straight to heaven anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Quit being afraid of the devil.
May you have such a revelation of the authority in Christ. Come on, may you armor up and level up and have such a revelation of who you are that when you wake up, I might preach in here. When you wake up in the morning, the devil will be like, oh, go. Oh, he's awake. Oh, go back to sleep. You should be known in heaven and feared in hell. Don't you let anything bring you under bondage. Don't you let anything take you captive. Don't you be bound by anything. You take authority over every lie. You drive it out of your house and drive it out of your mind. Learn the word. Put on the full armor of God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. Can you say amen? Come on, stand up on your feet and shout to God. Be self-controlled and alert. You gotta be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's how you level up. And God will just promote you. The battle that you are currently in is the opportunity and the springboard to push you into greater levels of influence if you win. And winning is not dependent on God, it's dependent upon you. You do your part, God will do his. You stand firm in the power of his might, and you will walk in victory. Armor up, level up.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.